This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses. Season 19, Episode 10. This is Writing Excuses.
Introducing our close reading series.
15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry.
And we're not that smart.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Dong Wan.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Howard.
And I have a confession, which is that we are actually recording the introduction to our close reading series after we've recorded most of the close reading series. Because honestly, we wanted to get a sense of what this was going to be like. You know, it's our first time doing this. And I'll be honest, even as a teacher, when I hear the word close reading, sometimes I think, boring class. It's going to feel like going to a bad college class all over again. But I think it's been really fun.
This has been some of the most fun that I've had doing episodes. One of the things that people talk about in our previous episodes when we've been trying to give examples of things is that we often reach for film and television because we feel like there's a higher likelihood that you will have seen the thing than that you will have read a particular work. With this, because what we've done is we've picked five books, actually two books, two novellas, and a bunch of short stories, so that you can read along with it. But we're doing all the heavy lifting. We've done the close reading, and we're using those to tell you kind of how these techniques work with very concrete examples.
We're also leaning all the way into this and reading directly from the text during the episodes, which is, to my mind, critical for helping you understand what it is that we love and what we see in the words that we read.
And because, as Howard said, we're going to be quoting from the text, you don't necessarily have to have read all of it before hopping in with us, but do be aware that we are not holding back on spoilers because we want to talk about the structure, we want to talk about how certain things unfold. So we will be referencing elements of the plot and the story from throughout the entire book. So if you hate spoilers, then read along with us. If you don't have time, don't stress about it. We're going to walk you through it.
Well, and also, not for nothing, we picked really great works that we love. You're going to want to read these anyway. So if you can, definitely read at least part of them. I think you should read all of them, and you'll get a lot out of it.
Yeah, that thing where people will say, oh, okay, spoiler alert, and you know to plug your ears or whatever stuff. We didn't even bother with that. We just sort of, the spoilers are scattered like...
It's all spoilers all the time.
Mm-hmm. We tend to focus on the first half of the book just naturally and how we're talking about it. But yeah, absolutely. Be prepared.
Okay, so we should probably talk a little bit about how we got here in the first place.
Yeah.
And it started with, I think, Dong Wan, it was you and I, and maybe you, Mary Robinette, we were all scheming on the cruise. We had nothing to do during a lunch, and we said, let's start scheming and plotting and figure out how we can bring, like, these really interesting close readings in a really cool way to the listeners. Is that, do you remember it that way?
I remember it being not so much nothing to do during lunch, rather than season 19 curriculum meeting.
Aaron's way sounds more fun.
Your way does sound more fun.
It was a nice lunch, too.
It was a great lunch.
Halfway through the curriculum meeting, you remembered that it was supposed to be a curriculum meeting.
You were eavesdropping on us, clearly.
But the thing, it really is, like, so often when I'm talking about a technique, it would be easier if I had a sentence that I could show it to you with. And we've got those. What we wanted to do was not just pick books, but pick topics that were going to be useful to you. So we've got the season broken down into five topics, each of which has a representative work that is tied to it. So we're going to be starting the season with voice.
Starting with voice, yes.
That makes sense for a podcast.
We recorded these out of sequence, which is part of why I was like, it was voice, right? And voice, interestingly enough, was How to Lose the Time More, which is just ironic considering the out-of-sequence nature of our recording schedule.
Exactly.
I think we're winning the time war.
We
right
are winning
now.
The time war.
That's the time war joke that we made.
There we go.
We set this up in advance. We're like, someone's going to make a time war joke. That was it, folks.
There we go. That's the only time war joke you're going to get. We will have done this several times.
So we're starting with voice, and then we're going into world building after that, reading Arkady Martin's A Memory Called Empire. And then we're going to do character using C.L. Clarke's short stories, and there'll be a list of those in the liner notes. And then we are going to do tension with P. Jelly Clark's Ring Shout. And then finally, we're going to talk about structure using N.K. Jemisin's The Fifth Season.
We've tried to set this up so that you've got novellas, so you have plenty of time to read it because it's a shorter thing. Then we go to a novel, so you've got a little more time. Then you get a breather because we do some short stories. Then novella, and you have a lot of time before you have to read N.K. Jemisin's Fifth Season. So we're thinking about two things. One is your actual reading time. And the other thing that we're thinking about is a little bit of the arc of how you think about a story. Mm-hmm. Thinking about a story as driven by voice versus thinking about a story as driven by structure. You can start either place, but often the structure is something that you refine at the end during the editing process. So we're hoping that you'll be able to use these tools all the way through the year on the works that you're writing yourself.
And just to be perfectly clear, Arkady Martin's Memory Called Empire does a bazillion things well, including world building. Mm-hmm. We're focusing on the world building. Don't go thinking that it doesn't have amazing voice or amazing characterization or brilliantly executed tension. All of the stories that we picked could have served as examples for any of the topics that we covered. We just picked the ones that we did because to us, that's what seemed to fit.
Trying to pick titles that fit the topics was incredibly difficult, right?
I was going to say, one of my favorite things was our little Tetris-y like, well, this could be this, but also that.
Yeah, and, you know, Howard's exactly right. Some of these moved from category to category where we're like, oh, maybe we should do Fifth Season for voice or tension or all these different things, and ended up settling on structure. And sort of why we picked one versus another is maybe slightly arbitrary. There are certain focuses, you know, Time War is a very voicey book, so it felt like it fit really well there, even though the structure of it is also really fascinating. The character work is fascinating. So, you know, don't take any of these as being complete silo, but it was a really fun exercise to go through what have we read recently, what have we really loved, what's in the genre that's exciting right now that does at least address in a core way one of these topics.
So it's worth pointing out as well that these kind of close reading series are very specific. Talking about world building with A Memory Called Empire, it is not a broad and generic talk about world building in general. It is how did Arkady Martin use world building in this book for this purpose? The same thing with voice in Time War and all of the other series that we're doing. And I think that that actually ended up, at least for me, being a lot more interesting than trying to cover all of world building in six episodes.
One thing I really loved about this project was, you know, you've heard us do deep dives before. We've gone in depth on projects, but those have always been our own projects. And, you know, those tend to be from a holistic angle of talking about one of Mary Robinette's books, or, you know, all last year, you heard us go through Aaron Short's stories, Howard's last couple of volumes, all of these different things. So being able to focus in a really laser-like way on a single topic, on a single book, using a handful of lines or quotes or passages really lets us dig into the topic in a really mechanical way that, for me at least, was some of the most fun I've ever had on this show.
You say dig. 30 years ago, the math gets fuzzy. When I was studying music history and form and analysis, one of the things that our professor said was, imagine yourself as a, you want to find out what's under the ground. Do you want to dig 1,000 one-foot holes or one 1,000-foot hole? Mm-hmm. And then he said, for our purposes in this class, we're going to dig, 10-foot holes and then one 900-foot hole. We're going to do a little bit of survey work, and then we are going to drill way down on one thing. In the past, here with Writing Excuses, a lot of times we've taken the, 100, 10-foot hole approach, and now we're going mining.
And actually, I think we're about to go to a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about How do you do close reading well? Because we've been talking about it, and we want to make sure that you're prepped for what you need to do or what you might want to do when we start this series.
Hi. This week, our thing of the week is a role-playing game called Shinobi Gami. This is a role-playing game written and published in Japan, translated into English. And one of the reasons I love it and the reason I'm recommending it is because it is so interesting to see a role-playing game from a completely different culture. One of the things that stands out as different in Western role-playing games, we tend to avoid any kind of player versus player conflict or combat. And this game is entirely about player versus player combat. As the name implies, Shinobi Gami, everyone is a ninja of some kind in modern Japan, and you are fighting each other, trying to accomplish secret quests and secret missions at the expense of the other players. It's a lot of fun. It's very different from what you may have ever played before, and it's great. Check it out. That, again, is called Shinobi Gami.
So, how do you close read? What does this mean?
I wanted to toss this one to you, actually, because you're the one who, among all of us, is the one who's actively teaching in a classroom environment, right? You're teaching writing to students. Do you use these techniques? Do you do close reading examples in class? Or how does that structure work for you?
Just when I thought I'd gotten away with it. What I do when I teach is to give the students, let's all read this story, let's all read this book, so that we all have a common thing that we're talking about. And I find it to be very helpful because when you want to give an example later, when you're reading somebody else's story and you're like, oh, I really like the way you built tension, like, and you reach for an example, if everyone is speaking the same language, mm-hmm. if everyone has read the same story, we can make those references really quickly. And it basically creates a little environment, a little community for the classroom, which we're going to kind of replicate here, where everyone's speaking the same language, everyone knows what we're talking about, and therefore, it makes it just so much easier to reference things and talk about craft.
Well, not just easier, but it allows us to go, as Howard's metaphor was saying, much deeper than we normally would, because we don't have to cover a lot of the basic stuff. We don't have to start each sentence by saying, well, in How to Lose the Time War, because that's understood. We have more time to get into the real meat of each of the stories.
For me, the secret to close reading was opening the book with a question already in mind for me. The question might have been, and it's a very specific, very detailed, very 400-level question, when does the likability slider for characters move in this book? And I would just ask myself that question before I started reading, and I would find phrases and it would resonate with me and I'd realize, oh, that's where that thing happens.
So the way I often approach it, because I will often do close readings when I'm trying to learn a new technique. And so I brought some of that to this when we were working on this project, that I'll go ahead and just read it for funsies with the question in mind. But then I go back and I kind of open it a little bit at random or to things that I remember, but I think, okay, I want to go through and I want to look for, say, with Time War, I want to go through and look for places where they're using cadence, where they're using the rhythm of the language. And so I'll skim through the book at looking for an example of that. And then, and this part is for me really important, I will read the whole page. I'll look at the context of how that thing is being used, because none of these examples, you're going to hear us read an isolated sentence, but none of these sentences exist in isolation. And the connective tissue is the part that's really, really fun. So it's quite possible for you to just read the book for funsies. Then you'll hear us say a sentence and you go find that sentence in the book and just read the stuff around it. It's also possible for you to not read the book, wait for us to say something, and just go read it and be like, well, I don't have anything else, but I can see how even on this page, this technique is working. And it'll be techniques like, you know, it'll be techniques like cadence or something like sentence structure, word choice.
Punctuation.
Punctuation. Yeah. Or when we get into talking about character, we'll be talking about things like ability or role and really unpacking those. Those are things that I've talked about on other episodes, but here I'm able to give you concrete examples that you can look at in context to see how they work and how they work over a span of pages.
And, you know, one thing for me, there's a hazard of my job where I spend so much time reading manuscripts, right? Reading client work, going over drafts, editing, that sometimes it can get a little mechanical for me, where I end up so in the weeds and kind of like, oh, I got to get through X number of manuscripts by the end of this month to stay on top of things. So being able to do this where we got to dig into these books and dig into certain passages in a very specific way kind of really reminded me how much I love writing. Like it was such a joyful conversation to be like, oh, it is so cool that in this paragraph they did this. Look how they did this thing and how that's going to have consequences later. And, you know, I hope that that also works for some of our audience too, that, you know, sometimes when you're writing, it can be easy to lose sight of what matters. And this is a way to sort of reconnect with the joy of writing and reading and experiencing great fiction.
Yeah, we didn't want to call this book club, but in some ways it's kind of like being in a book club with the entire Writing Excuses audience. In fact, this is also a good time to let you know that our Patreon has a Discord attached to it. And if you want to come in, and the Discord is brand new, but if you want to come in and yell about these books with people who have also read them, we have a space for you to do that.
I just like to put a pin in the fact that coming up with the term close reading as opposed to book club was way more painful for me than picking the books. Picking the books is easy, but coming up with a two-word name, that's misery.
Yeah. I would say, going back to the idea of the joy of the reading, mm-hmm. like, you know, I love the idea of like reading with a question in mind or really being very intentional about it. But I'll be honest, like when I give my students things to read, I'm not asking them to do much other than read it. And then when we come back in class, we ask questions that get to why it's working. So something I like to do sometimes when I'm reading a book is read it and then think, what are the three things I would tell someone about this book that I either loved or hated? Because look, you may be like, these are the worst five books that I have ever read. I hate them all. And I hope not, because we enjoy them. But you learn something either way. You learn something. It's like you learn something for the people you dislike, mm-hmm. just like you learn something for the people you like
sometimes
about the
you
way
learn
you relate.
More from a book that you hate than yeah. you will from a book that you love, because you can sort of see in contrast the things that they are doing that you don't like. But you can start to understand the techniques as a result.
Exactly. And you can ask yourself why. So if it's the mm-hmm. three things you love or hate, it's, well, I hated the character. Well, why did I hate that character? And usually it's like something they did or something that happened in the text. And then you can say, when did I know that happened? Like, if I hated them because of the fact that they stabbed six kittens, when did that happen? And what was it about that kitten stabbing that like really made it horrible? Sorry, kittens.
Made it so different from the other kitten stabbings that like I loved in the past.
John Cleaver book.
Being able to ask yourself and come up with an answer for why you don't like something is, that's an exciting ride. I well remember the movie Legion, which a lot of other people thought I would love, but the loser guy who gets everybody killed is named Howard, and his wife is named Sandra.
Whoops.
No, that's a dumb movie. I hate it.
Another really valuable thing on this topic is, if you hate one of these books, this gives you the opportunity to see what other people saw in it that you didn't.
Yeah.
And it's okay to hate books. I hate so many books. But as an author, especially as a working author who wants to make this a career, it's important to understand mm-hmm. what the market likes, what people who are not me are looking for in a book.
And it's also great to see the variety of opinions, because some people will love it, some people will hate it, some people will be indifferent. I think sometimes as writers, we can think that there's some objective measure that this book is good and everyone loves it, and this book is bad and everyone hates it. But any book, like the book that you love the most is somebody else's like least favorite. The book that's your least favorite is somebody's most loved book. And I think seeing that variety of opinion helps you realize that like in your own work, you don't have to meet some mythical standard. You just have to try to use these techniques that we're talking about as best you can and put it out there and find the audience of people who will love your work.
And all that said, we hope you love these books because we love these books, right? It's okay if you don't. We get it.
They hate them.
But one of the reasons we hope you love it is we're going to also be talking to some of the creators behind these books and doing interview episodes at the end of each series where we get to interrogate them. Hey, how did you do this thing? How did you think about this thing? And I am so looking forward to those conversations because I think it's going to be really fun to pick the brains of some of the most talented people in the space and talk about these big ideas.
Those authors will be more excited about those episodes if we use the word interview instead of interrogate.
No.
Depends on the writer.
Well, and what I'm looking forward to with those is where we say, oh, you know, I really love it when you did X, Y, Z. And they're like, I'm glad you noticed that.
I am so happy that worked for you.
Why did you? Why do you think I did?
It sounds like you might have been on the other end of this once or twice.
One thing that I am going to say, this is not your homework, but just something that I want you to think about as you are listening to these episodes all year, is that we're going to be citing examples. But the examples that we cite are not the only examples of each technique in the book. So one of the ways that you can enhance your own understanding is go and find your own examples and then find someone to share that example with, because that's going to really help you cement the technique that we're talking about in your own brain. And then you can take it to your work and see if you can use it there, which is what we're really hoping. That's the reason we're doing these close reads. So we're hoping it'll help you level up your own writing.
That sounded like the homework, but it wasn't.
It was not the homework. I know. That's why I said this isn't the homework.
But that was great. I wish I'd come up with that. This homework is like super complicated too. So one thing, we talked about these five things that we're going to be thinking about, voice, world building, character, tension, and structure. So I want you to take a scene from a work that you love or from your own work and pick a different crayon color or colored pencil for each of those things and underline where you think it's happening within the scene. So underline all the cool voice places, underline all the different world building in a different color, and just take a look at the palette that you've created for yourself, because we're going to be talking about all these things and they can be found in all of these works. And it's a good way to remind yourself of all the way that these techniques come together on the page.
I love that so much.
This has been Writing Excuses. You're out of excuses. Now go read.
Hey, podcast lovers. Did you know that you can upgrade your experience here with our ad-free tier on Patreon? Head over to patreon.com/writingexcuses to enjoy an ad-free oasis, as well as access to our virtual Discord community where you can talk with your fellow writers.
Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. For this episode, your hosts were Mary Robinette Kowal, Dong Wan Song, Aaron Roberts, and Howard Taylor. This episode was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr., mastered by Alex Jackson, and produced by Emma Reynolds. For more information, visit writingexcuses.com.